This is the Reading Instruction Show. I am your host, as always, Dr. Andy Johnson. The title of today's podcast is From There to Here. It also could be Forward to the Past. Let me explain. One of the first things I do every morning is to engage in some form of academic reading. I read books and journal articles, and I reread the books and articles that I've read in the past. And when I do this, I highlight passages where I made marks in the margins. And with these already read books, I also read the notes that I wrote to myself in the margins, and I often write new notes to myself. My future self will look back and see these. This process helps me understand what I thought was important at the time of the original reading. And it helps me remember some important points. And I find it extremely pleasurable, and it focuses my mind for the writing that I do every day. Now, I was rereading Ken Goodman's On Reading. This is a great book, by the way, as are all of his books. He was talking about transactions between readers and text. And I realized that one of the reasons why so many people have been snookered by the incessant bleating for structured literacy, as opposed to unstructured literacy or chaotic literacy or random literacy, one of the reasons why so many have been snookered and bleated at is because we, us in the meaning-based literacy, we've been writing and talking to ourselves. We write the things that we believe to people who believe the same sorts of things. And then we wonder why people who believe other things don't believe us. And there's a tendency for us to exclude those who believe other things. These are the ones who believe us to be clowns. And a clown, by the way, is a person who thinks they know a lot when in fact they know very little. And of course, those who believe us to be clowns are doing the same sorts of things to us. Send in the clowns. Now, I used to be an avid letter writer. Get to the point, Dr. Clown. Okay, before email, I used to write a lot of letters to people. And the people I wrote to most often were my Aunt Emmy and Uncle Neil. My Aunt Emmy must have thought I had something to say, or she liked my writing style, but she saved all my letters and sent them to me recently. As I read through them, I realized that I was wrestling with some deep issues back then, as well as describing some complex things based on the stuff I was reading. But also my writing style sounded nothing like my writing today. It sounded nothing like the books in which these complex things I was reading about were found. I also realized that my writing was pretty gosh darn good. Illusions of grandeur fully noted here. But I was writing to them. I wasn't throwing out words and expecting invisible people to figure them out. You didn't have to read things twice to get my point. And I included myself, a real person, open for debate, in the writing. And I even threw in a joke here and there. Today, the kinds of books that I find fascinating are the same kinds of books that I had to force myself to read back when I was an undergraduate student so many years ago. These books haven't changed a bit, but I have. Those books were written to people like the current me, with heads full of knowledge and a deep passion for a thing, things the authors were writing about. They weren't writing to a college kid who just wanted to go out and drink a lot of beer. Writing to you. Again, do you have a point here? Yes. One of the reasons why people don't hear our very reasonable voices and aren't attending to our very reasonable arguments is that we're writing to each other. And we're using the same kind of writing we use to write to invisible people who will review our work to make decisions about accepting our articles or offering us book contracts. We use a writing style that sounds very different from the language that comes out of our mouths. And I'm hoping those authors don't sound like that in real life. In this style of writing, the writer disappears behind objective pronouns and second or third person language. The first person, the writing person who's writing, doesn't exist. Now, of course, I want everybody in the world to read the book I'm working on. But who I really want to read this book are two people. First, those who don't quite know what to believe and think, and second, those who think me to be a clown. I'm writing to you. But in so doing, I'm not writing down to you. I'm writing over to you. I understand that I'm over here with my knowledge and set of beliefs, and you're over there with different knowledge and a different set of beliefs, or perhaps a little knowledge and a set of forming beliefs. My ultimate goal, and I admit this up front, is to move you a little closer from there to here. That is, I want you to have some of the beliefs that I have about reading instruction. I believe that the utter clownery that is the science of reading and structured literacy will go away if you just have a bit of the knowledge that's in my head. It's impossible to think things with the knowledge in my head. One of the reasons why the science of reading people have been so successful is that they've been writing to the people over there. They've used stories in radio documentaries that sound very much like the way people talk. They've enabled the people over there to see and hear real people while our quiet, very reasoned, third-person voice has been ignored. So here's my letter. Dear Emmy and Neil, this is all nonsense. It really is. It's like a bad movie. It's like Back to the Future, except it's forward to the past. The same sorts of back to the basics movement has happened in the past, but this time it's much worse. It's like I woke up and my worst nightmares have come true. The government is banning books. Professors are forced to teach things that aren't true. Teachers are told what to teach and how to teach it. And schools can only use approved reading programs. And worst, children don't read, write, and think. They respond to letters. Now, I know this kind of thing has happened before to a lesser degree. Things like the Reading First Initiative, that was part of No Child Left Behind, these things have come and then disappeared as they proved to be useless and expensive. But it feels different this time. And can we afford to lose a generation of kids while this boondoggle plays out once again? Your nephew, Andy.